Tamika T.C. Mueller. Which one? Is it T.C. or Tamika? Which one should I call you?
Well, my name is Tamika Mueller, but my friends call me T.C.
Okay, so can I count yourself in the friends category then,
Absolutely.
T.C.?
Absolutely, I hope you do.
Good. I'm curious. You're running the 115th Democratic primary. There'll be two on the ballot. What will the ballot say? Tamika T.C.?
Yes, sir. That is correct.
Okay, good. Because that's one of the important things when you pull a ballot. You know, sometimes names, you got to make sure you got the right one.
Yes.
In the couple of minutes before we went on the air, we were trying to figure out where we'd met before. We both recognize each other, but we're not sure where. So, fundraiser, golf tournament, any of a long list of other things. Because you've been in Murfreesboro for a pretty good time, haven't you? You were born and raised in Murfreesboro?
Well, I have been in Murfreesboro and Carbondale for a long time. I went to SIU initially as an undergraduate and 1999, or excuse me, I graduated in 1999, but 1996. And so my husband is a lifelong resident of Jackson County, born in Dow, or excuse me, lived in Dow and born in DeCoin. So I've been here for a while, and I graduated from O'Fallon Township High School back in 1993.
All right, so you know your way around.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Is this your third term on the Jackson County Board?
That's correct.
All right, now this is interesting because when you run for the 115th District, and I've talked to a lot of people who are running for office in Texas, right? I mean, that's one of the things that's driving people. And I was thinking about you this morning. When you see what the state of Illinois has done, pushing debt back down on the local level.
Yes.
Here you pay for these pensions, guys. And, you know, saying we should freeze property taxes. And you go, but how are we going to pay for the pensions that you left in our lap? I mean, that's just one little thing. I mean, these local taxes, the cut on the return back. That it's amazing how much you can know about state government when you work on a county level because you're literally in the trenches. I mean, I don't think that's an overstatement.
No, it's not actually. One thing that I'm very proud of is that the Jackson County board members have been tremendous in working on our Jackson County budget. I'm proud to say that we haven't had to raise taxes or levy. Of course, if you do any updates, your taxes potentially could go up for assessments. But we've kept things pretty neutral where your taxes are going to stay the same. And that's because we've worked hard to do that and working across the aisle with both Republican and Democrats and working hard for the people of Jackson County. And that's something I would absolutely do in Springfield if given the opportunity to be the state representative.
Well, in Jackson County, you've been presented with more than one problem to overcome.
Yes.
You know, I mean, the last reaction to the idea that there might be a tax increase, I mean, people are pretty much up in arms, but it doesn't matter which county or which township you are. I mean, I wonder sometimes if we've not come to the point we don't know which straw will break the proverbial camel's back, because we know there's a straw out there that'll do it. We don't know which one it is. And, you know, I think you start to see the camel's back break in the form of people leaving.
Yes, that is actually one of the main reasons why I'm running, because I am a small business owner and I've seen it. I'm in the real estate field, and people in Southern Illinois, we have been working hard to establish tourism and bring economic development to the area. But one of the things is because of the budgets for the last 2.5 years, not having those things available, social services have been harmed because of that. And so we have a lot of people, it's been an exodus. And so that's one of the items that I believe we need to work hard to restore back in economic security.
Well, and see in there, and so let's take a look at that. Something the Jackson County Board's had to deal with, Jackson County Nursing Home.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
You know, when I was reading more and more about you, you were saying, look, I want to do something about the economy, and that comes from jobs. You know, and it doesn't matter whether you're Democrat or Republican, we can all agree that jobs, generating that money in our community, creating more revenue from people who are working, instead of taking more from the few that are, a whole host of problems get solved this way, including things like having more services for people. Because Murfreesboro, you look at the census report and you look at the average age, we have an aging community in many places in Southern Illinois, and we're going to have to address it. We can't
That's correct.
It's going to be a problem, and we're not prepared. Well, then you've not been reading the census reports. We do have a number of these kind of issues in aging communities, Murfreesboro, where you live. You know this.
I
would think as a real estate person, I'm curious. I love the house. How much is the property tax? How far apart are those two questions?
Yes, that is exactly it. In fact, I was talking to someone, and this is even outside of Jackson County. This is across the Southern Illinois region. People have beautiful homes that they love, but the taxes are an issue because the taxes sometimes is more than the actual principal interest mortgage payment. And it's basically, and even for senior citizens or elderly, they can't afford to live in their home because the taxes are so much.
I literally told my girlfriend last night, I guess the best we can do is make as many payments on the house as we can so that we can sell it and keep more of the money whenever we're not able to pay for it when we've gotten too old to pay for the property taxes. This is the deal. Let's spend as much in, get the house as much paid for as we can, so that when we sell it, we'll be able to get more of the money instead of giving it back to the bank, because we're not going to be able to afford to keep this place if we don't work, if both of us aren't working.
Exactly. And that's a problem across the board.
It really is. And I've met a woman across the street from where I live in Carterville. Picked up, went to one of the Virginias. I'm out. She says, I'm gone. Lifelong resident. Picks up and says, I can't afford to stay here anymore.
Yes, and that's exactly it. I was talking to a gentleman, and he lives in Benton, and one of the things he said that he was going to go to Tennessee because their taxes are lower. And
no state taxes. I worked there for 6 months, waiting out a non-compete agreement. I'm going, boy, I get a lot of money here. And they go, well, you don't pay state taxes, Tennessee Valley Authority. I'm going, like, this is the best thing ever.
So those are the things that we have to work on, and we have to ensure that we're taking care of our residents, because people want to see value for the taxes. They don't necessarily mind having taxes, but we have to show them what their taxes are benefiting them in the community, Southern Illinois.
And that's interesting when you think about it that way, that I don't see any value, that, you know, that there's a level of, you know, malfeasance almost, you know, out on the state level. You know, I don't mind taxes if I don't have to drive through the potholes, and, you know.
Exactly.
And everybody, I suppose, has their own thing that they want to see money spent on, whether it's health care. Because one of the items that you had mentioned in something I was reading about you was that you were worried about homelessness, which is, it's hard to imagine because we don't see it, you know, because, I mean, at one point there were people living in the woods next to the restaurant, the last restaurant as you exit Carbondale going to the east.
Yes.
They were living in the woods. Not far from the campus. They had a community and a little bit of woods back there. And then you've got the homeless vets.
Which is near and dear to my heart. I am a veteran, as well as I'm currently serving. I'm a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army in the U.S. Army Reserves. And I did serve in the National Guard for over 10 years as well. And cumulatively, my service in the military is over 20 years. I've actually been in since I was 17 years old. So our soldiers that have served and have come back home with PTSD sometimes are harmed, because when they come home, things are not the same as when they left. And there's challenges reintegrating into the community. And a lot of times, if they're losing benefits from, I was in the National Guard. And so if they were on active duty pay and then they come back and then, you know, they don't get necessarily the same amount of money that they did when they were deployed, so to speak. And so what happens is this. Sometimes the family unit breaks down after someone or the soldier has been deployed and have come back. And then there's times where the just coming back has that whole adjustment period of time, and they become homeless for whatever reason. And so we need to make sure that we are helping the most vulnerable individuals and our soldiers, our veterans, and making sure that no one is left behind, homeless, and especially our vets.
You know, one of the problems that I often see is we don't manage our money well in this state, it seems, because, you know, we want to do these things and we wonder where the money goes. and a lot of it's interest. There's pensions that have to be paid, and it kind of goes off. You don't see that going in the pothole. How do we make this happen? When you have a pension bill as bad as ours, we just borrowed, I think, another $13 billion from Wall Street. How do we change something that's gone on so long? We see Governor Rauner running on the ticket of change. J.B. Pritzker is running on change on his ballot. But it seems like people in Springfield all realize they need to change, but there's a lack of willingness, or political pressure, they're not willing to. How do you change the direction of this big ship?
I think it starts first with people trusting who's in office, and then secondly, transparency. We need to be held accountable. Leadership, those that are put in places of leadership, Springfield, even at the local level, transparency and saying, yes, this is the money coming in, this is where the money is going, and holding those individuals' feet to the fire.
Accountability is something that I wonder if we've not really practiced very well here. I mean, I've got a friend of mine, you know, once told me, he says, man, we don't have a lack of money problem. We have a spending problem in this state. We collect a lot of money. What we do is we don't spend it very well.
We have not been fiscally responsible for our spending. That has got to stop. We have to take a real look at what we're spending those monies on. And how, once again, it goes back to the value. We have money, we're receiving money, but what are we spending it on to help our constituents, to actually help the voters, the people that really need to have benefit? Our social services have declined because of lack of resources, which is hurting elderly. It's hurting a lot of our social services. I know in Jackson County alone, our health department has become so creative in trying to not lay people off, because they want to make sure that they are available to provide services to our community.
And the long list of them, too. There really are. Until you go over there and you meet the people, you have no idea how much they do.
Yes, sir. That's
flu
correct.
Inoculations, help with unwanted pregnancies, sickness, social issues of all variety. It's really kind of bewildering. It really is.
Yes.
So, you know, the affecting change is still the thing that occupies my mind here this morning, because, I mean, what can one person do? Because, you know, we see all the candidates come in and we know we can't do it alone. And now we're living in an environment where everybody's so doggone competitive. Competitive. It's combative. We're combative. We're intolerant. People say one word and we're flying off the handle. And yet so we're worrying about a word when we should be worrying about the problem.
Exactly.
And we don't do that. And I another one of those friends of mine said, I heard you talking this morning to a candidate, you know, and he says, you know why the reason we want to get mad at every single word? Because it's easy. It's easier than solving the problem. That's kind of haunting me. It's easier for us to just be mad and pointing fingers and go blah, 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 as opposed to getting down and getting the job done.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I want to do in Springfield. Roll up my sleeves and get to work for the people of Southern Illinois, the District of 115. And see, this is the thing. It's not just about what we can do for our district, but anything and everything that we can do to bring jobs and industry to Southern Illinois helps us overall, our region. And I think that part of that is understanding what are the requirements and how can we best meet those requirements? Talking to the people, seeing what we need to do. What do we have available for infrastructure so we can bring industry to the region, to the area? And talking and creating a think tank and saying, okay, this is the problem and let's find a way. Let's find solutions. Let's work together on this, because it's not a me problem or a you problem. It's our problem.
Yeah, it's a we problem.
Yes, it is absolutely a we problem. And we have to work together to resolve the issues of Southern Illinois. And I'm not into mudslinging. I'm not here for that. I am here to make a change. I am here to work hard for the people of Southern Illinois.
Tomiko Mueller, who's joining us this morning, and her friends get to call her TC. So you'll see her on the ballot, the primary ballot coming up in March for the 115th district. It's an interesting district. It really is. Because it stretches, you know, up near St. Louis and then down Union County and then south. And when you look at that, it's like, you know, talking with Mike Boss about his old district, he says, well, you know, under Obamacare, we had like one insurance carrier left. You know, what are we going to do? You've got this long list of issues, whether it's, you know, hunting tourism, Union County. They didn't wait for the state. They started doing tourism on their own, and they've been pretty doggone effective, too. They really have. Publications. It seemed like they did what you just said. They got a group of people together. They came up with the ideas, and they implemented it.
Absolutely, and that's what it takes, honestly. Getting the smart people together, getting ideas out on the table, and working to implement. Because, you know, you can have a plan, but if you don't implement it and take the objective, it's as if you have done nothing. And being in the military, that's one of
I said, this sounds like military, because there's my list.
Oh.
There's my action list for the day. I've already started my action list for the day. You got to get it done. You got to, because I'm a big guy. You got to have, what are we going to do this weekend? Well, what's the plan?
Exactly.
I got to have a plan.
And you have to execute the plan.
And then you have to execute the plan.
Yes, sir.
But then what happens? No plan holds up upon first contact with the enemy.
Right.
So you got to have more plans to back that plan up.
You have to have a contingency plan. And I believe we have to have a vision. Sometimes people are wondering because they don't know the vision, they don't know the plan. And that's when you bring the people together and you give them a vision and this is the objective and you take the hill and you move forward. And that's what I'm excited about because that's what we need here in Southern Illinois.
It worked. Got me excited.